Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Nurse, there's a few more questions. Did you observe Kathy Beatty sitting on Maya's bed?
No, not that I recall.
Did you observe Kathy Beatty listening to Maya's phone calls?
No.
Was not Maya told there were some kids she was not allowed to talk to?
I mean, we wouldn't have restricted her from talking to people. Like fellow patients, for sure.
We're having a real hard time here.
So she would not have been restricted from talking to other patients.
Can we move the microphone a little bit closer to her?
Better.
Clarifying when Maya returned to your care after the 48 hours away from your care, were you not curious to know what happened while out of your realm and review anything, quote, notable, end quote, that happened while Maya was gone?
So first of all, Maya never left our unit. She was just moved to a different room within the unit. So outside of just moving from one room to another room, nothing changed. It's really not nursing's place to like make a diagnosis or order new testing. So at that point, we would have been relying on our physician staff to determine what information they were hoping to get from watching her on the video.
Mr. Hughes, anything further?
One moment, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, anything further? May this witness be excused?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And released from subpoenas?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, members of the jury, I know you've only been in for an hour and 10 minutes, but we've been here a little bit longer than that, so I think this is going to be a good time for us to take a mid-morning break. Let's try to keep this to 10 minutes. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exit.
Juries out of our presence. Any issues we need to address before we go on break?
Just briefly, Judge. I didn't mention yesterday during the deposition, during the testimony of Dr. Deeds, plaintiff's counsels tend to be loud and occasionally laugh I would remind the court that they requested to be next to the jury. During the nurse's testimony, again, they were a little disruptive. And I'm just asking for consideration from the other counsel that when while we're on direct, to not be making derogatory looks, comments, gestures. They're right next to the jury at their request. And next time I'll stand up and ask to approach. But it's been a theme.
What do you say? I think we're not.
Okay, well, let's, everyone heard us, and let's just try our best, everybody, to keep our facial expression. And I need to say this, everyone needs to remember that the microphones are very sensitive. So when we staple something next to the microphone, clip a pen, hit it with our arm, sigh, it really is, everyone ends up hearing it. So let's try to remember that. I know there's microphones all over the place, and everyone has to do the best, but let's just try to remember that as well. Okay, let's take 10 minutes. Please be seated, everybody. Any issues we need to address before we bring in the jury?
I have a chance to talk to counsel, and Sally Smith, we had thought judge was going to be considerably longer than she is. We're just going to confirm that both sides are staying away from anything having to do with Chapter 39, and so hopefully she'll be shorter. That may present some problems for timing for them, but...
Judge, first of all, not my witness, but I did share that we understood that we're not...
Mr. Hunter's not here. Are we waiting for him?
We are not waiting for him. He had other issues that he had to deal with, but... that we understood, we're not going to go into detail of her report or anything, but that we could get into her role, what her role was, et cetera. So, yes, we agree that her testimony is probably considerable shorter than we had anticipated getting the court.
Well, I would imagine that we're going to have some discussions at sidebar during her testimony.
I would think that there'll be questions also from the jury. So, yes, it may take longer than we think.
Anything else before we bring the jury back in?
Not from the defense, Your Honor.
That's Granger.
All rise. Jurors entering.
Thank you, Your Honor. We call Mark Anderson.
Stand here and face the clerk. Raise your right hand.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
May please the court. Good morning, sir. If you could introduce yourself to the jury.
Good morning. My name is Mark Anderson.
Okay. The other Mr. Anderson. I wish the court reporter luck. No relation to the gentleman sitting behind me. Correct?
No.
Okay.
Correct.
We got the hard part out of the way. All right. Can you tell the jury, what do you do for work?
Right now, I'm semi-retired. I do some consulting for a medical device company.
Okay, so let's take you back. Was there a time that where you served in executive leadership at a children's hospital?
Yes, from the year 1980 to 2000, I was employed by Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. While I was there, I had a variety of senior management roles. When I first started there, this was after I had completed a master's degree in health and hospital administration, I First went there as a department director for the admissions and ambulatory services department. I served in that capacity for a couple of years, and then I moved into a role of vice president for clinical and support services for Children's of Wisconsin. That entailed the departments of laboratory, medical records, pharmacy, x-ray, material services, housekeeping, basically everything other than nursing reported to me at that point in time. In the year 1991, I became the executive vice president and chief operating officer of Children's of Wisconsin.
Okay, so I'm going to take you a little bit backwards now. Where did you achieve your undergraduate degree?
I went to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa and received a commerce and business degree that was concentrated in healthcare management.
Okay. And what did you do after you graduated from the University of Alabama?
I worked full-time for a year or so at Children's Hospital of Alabama, which is located in Birmingham.
Okay. And what title did you have there?
While there, I was also the director of ambulatory services in the emergency department.
Did you obtain any graduate degrees at the University of Alabama, Birmingham?
In 1980, I received my Master's of Hospital and Health Administration from the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Subsequent to that, a number of years, in the year 2012, I returned and I received a doctorate in health administration from the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
And was it after that that you spent some, that you went to Children's Hospital of Wisconsin?
It was after my master's degree.
And was there a time that you obtained any other degrees? I believe you obtained a degree in theology, is that right?
Right. Serving at Milwaukee, I had done a lot of volunteer work in various countries abroad, both volunteer work but also medical missions work. And I got fascinated by some of the work that I was doing, so I returned and in 1997 received a degree, a Master's of Arts degree in theological studies from McCormick Seminary in Chicago, Illinois.
What years were you at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin?
From 1980 to 2000.
Okay. And what did you do after you left Children's Hospital of Wisconsin?
In the year 2000, I relocated to Virginia, and I worked for a not-for-profit, non-governmental organization called Project Hope. Project Hope did overseas training for health professionals, and I was a management officer at Project Hope, overseeing the areas of Asia and the Middle East.
Was there a time that you started working for an organization, the Society for International Health?
The Center for International Health, from 2003 till 2010. The Center for International Health was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a consortium of academic and medical institutions. It did the same type of work Project Hope did. It did health training for health professionals overseas. I was a CEO of that organization.
Okay. And was there a time through your professional or volunteer work that you had the opportunity to go overseas and work with Mother Teresa?
Indeed, in 1991, I was doing medical mission work, and I spent time in Calcutta working for Mother Teresa's organization, the Sisters of Charity, in their home for the dying indigent patients.
And was there a time in your professional volunteer work that you had the opportunity to work with Bishop Desmond Tutu?
In the mid-90s through about 2015, I had multiple involvements with the Archbishop in some of the work that he was doing in South Africa relative to refugees, and also providing medical supplies to his organization.
So going back to your education and training, did you achieve a doctorate in health administration?
I did in the year 2012 from University of Alabama, Birmingham.
And after you completed your work around the country and overseas, have you since returned, or did you since return to the Tampa Bay area and work in any capacity while here?
After working in the Center for International Health, after I received my doctorate degree, I stepped back into hospital administration in the United States, working first at Jacksonville, Florida for Shands Hospital, which is part of the University of Florida, and then 2 years after that working for Tampa General Hospital in Tampa General for 4 years as the senior administrator for ambulatory services development.
Turning to this case, I retained you to look at the materials available to determine whether All Children's Hospital had appropriate organizational structures for patient safety. Is that true?
Correct.
And just to go over some of the records that I sent you, did you have a chance to review organizational charts?
Correct.
Did you have a chance to review depositions, including those of Dr. Mueller, Dr. Perno? Is that correct?
I did.
Did you have a chance to review Kathy Betty's testimony?
I did.
Did you have a chance to review the human resources file of Ms. Betty?
I did.
Did you have a chance to review medical records from All Children's?
I did.
Did those include both during times of admission and attempts to transfer?
Yes, it did.
Did you have a chance to review policies and procedures from All Children's Hospital?
I did.
Did you have the chance to either review or observe the testimony of the plaintiff's expert, Joe Corcoran?
I did.
How much have you charged for your services to date, if you can approximate that?
I believe $5,600.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit based on your training and experience and your review of the records to date. How does a hospital like All Children's function tied into its affiliation with an academic medical center?
Children's hospitals basically or entities that perform as a safety net for pediatric care. Most children's hospitals in the United States are a part of academic medical centers, which means they're complex entities because there are different objectives that academic medical centers have. They have an education mission. They have a research mission, but their primary mission is clinical care. And because of so many different missions, though, you have a complex organization where there are competing interests sometimes for resources, for activities, and all manner of funding and activities, but where the academic centers come together and integrate most effectively is in the area of clinical care. And that happens really at the bedside because that's really where the primary mission exists, how to treat the patient, how to do what's best for them, how to relocate them out of the hospital back into home situations in the best manner that can be achieved. It's difficult. Children's hospitals are unique from other perspectives in the sense that...
Yeah, let me give you a question on that. What's unique about how a children's hospital would operate versus how an adult hospital would operate?
Children's hospitals are institutions that basically have the sole mission of trying to deal with the lives of children. And so they're geared towards comprehensively looking at the needs of children. And one of the things that those of us who have a history in children's hospitals like to say is that children's really are not small adults. They have different needs and different requirements. They are not able, in some cases, to be able to tell you where they hurt or what their conditions are because of their age specific status. The medications that they might receive smaller doses because of their size and weight and characteristics like that. The equipment that treats them is different, again, because of size and specifics. So there are a lot of issues associated with children's hospitals that make them unique and different in and of themselves.
The jury's heard the concept of silos in hospitals. Can you tell the jury how each individual silo from physician, nursing, social work, how they would be subject to a quality review process?
The silos refer a little to what I was referring to earlier in terms of the education mission, for example, or a researcher or clinical care. And the way that organizations such as academic medical centers begin to look at quality, they develop quality plans. So they're departmental specific activities that are annualized in each and every department will have a specific series of objectives to meet quality care goals that are established for the organization as a whole. Physician components from the medical staff will have their own degree of goals and objectives that they have. They attend grand rounds in academic centers where there are teaching components. They are in the continuing learning process as faculty members and students. Each of the separate departments within a hospital will have their own specific quality assurance plan defined for their specific entity. And that will translate all the way down into specific quality activities that will be embedded in each employee's annual review. So it's a process that has an annual view, quality assurance and improvement plan for the organization, stepping down to the specific entities that are part of that, whether it be medical staff or hospital staff, and then down to the specific departments, and then all the way down to the individual.
So let's talk a little bit about the annual review process. In your review of the files that I've sent you, did you notice whether Kathy Beattie in social work was subject to annual reviews?
Yes, I reviewed a number of her human resource reviews, yes.
And did you notice that she had been an employee of All Children since about 2009?
Correct.
And did you have a chance to review her performance reviews in 2015 and 2016?
I did.
And how does a performance review work at a hospital? Who's doing the review, if you could talk about that, in the Care 360 model?
And each individual will be reviewed by their immediate supervisor. And as part of an annual review, several things happen. One, you review the past year's activities of that employee. So there's a review of what's happened. And then the second part of the review is really setting forth what are going to be the goals and objectives for that employee going forward. In Ms. Beattie's annual reviews, for the year that she was being reviewed, she was evaluated by her direct supervisor on a series of previously agreed on objectives that she would try and meet.
Yeah, objection, Your Honor. You need a court connection.
Thank you, Your Honor. Going back to the performance reviews, did you have a chance to see whether in Ms. Betty's annual reviews, whether she met the standards of care for her review?
Yes. her reviews reflected that she was evaluated as having met and exceeded the different elements of her review. There was also a component of the review process that is referred commonly to a 360-degree process. And what that entails is really a portion of an employee's review consists of an evaluation by their peers in their department. So Ms. Beattie's was, her review reflected that she was viewed and evaluated excellently and met the thresholds of her peers.
And the jury has previously seen that Ms. Beattie did have a verbal write-up in 2016. Were you provided that?
I was, and the record reflected that she had a verbal altercation with another employee. She was given an oral warning, but not a written warning, and she apologized to the employee that was involved, and that was how it was reflected in her record.
And other than that, in her personal file from 2009 through what you reviewed through the operative time of 2017, did you see any other verbal or written warnings of any sort?
No.
Okay. And then in terms of the structure, is it your understanding that social work would report to integrated patient care and then to nursing? Is that what your understanding is?
Correct.
And there would be chains of command if there were concerns that could be elevated up further, if there were concerns. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So let's get back a little bit to the overall process of review by the hospital. In terms of quality review, does all children's, are they required to have a quality review process?
Yes. Most organizations choose to go through a quality process that is a accreditation and review process by the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Hospitals.
Yeah, let me interrupt you there. So I'll have you explain what the Joint Commissions are, but is all children's audited by federal agencies to ensure that they are in compliance with safety plans?
Yes.
And who is that?
It is the Joint Commission as one body, and it could be others as well.
Okay. And explain to the jury, if you can, who the Joint Commissions are and what their role is.
The Joint Commission is an organization that was set up 70 or 80 years ago. It is an accreditation and evaluation organization. Its purpose in being set up was to try and standardize the way hospitals provide care across the country. And it identifies for each and every department of a hospital a series of standards of quality that are evaluated on a routine basis by surveyors from the Joint Commission. Typically, reviewers come in every 3 years. However, they can come in on a spot check basis, randomized basis. Usually, a survey will consist of 4 to 5 days of going through every record of the hospital from a perspective of looking at documentation per department of how they are meeting quality goals. And it is an arduous process. Different surveyors survey different things. There is a physician, there is an administrator, there is a hospital management, facilities management expert who will literally go through the hospital poking up tiles looking for breaches in the ceilings, and it's a very arduous, extensive process.
And in your review of the records and available data, did All Children's Hospital meet those accreditation standards?
Yes, they did.
And was that true in 2016?
Yes.
Okay. So let me talk to you a little bit about retrospective review. There are quality departments in the hospital that retrospectively review patient care. Is that true?
Correct.
Continue, Mr. Shapiro.
Thank you, Your Honor. In your experience working with hospitals, I wanted to talk to you about your experience on the role of social work and what they're generally tasked to do. So just to sort of suggest this, is social work usually the discipline that works with discharge planning?
Yes.
Okay, and why? What's their role in that regard, from your understanding?
The social work area actually starts when the patient comes into the hospital and really carries through all throughout the admission of the patient. But towards the end of the patient's stay, social workers are very, very much involved in discharge planning. They're trying to identify areas where there can be support systems for the patient when they get home. During the admission itself, they might be helping to examine if the patient doesn't have funds for the treatment, to secure financial resources. So in association with other people, including discharge planners, social work is engaged in doing everything they can to facilitate a transfer out of the hospital or a discharge out of the hospital.
One of the questions that the jury has asked in this case is why Maya's case did not rise to the level of senior leadership at the hospital. Based on your experience as the chief operating officer at a children's hospital, let me ask you, I'm going to approach on this one question. Mr. Anderson, you have experience as the chief operating officer of a children's hospital where children are sheltered. Is that true?
Correct.
In a case like Maya's, why doesn't a child under shelter always rise to the highest executive levels?
In many cases, at a children's hospital, as I mentioned before, they're only doing pediatric care. And what typically happens is there are, and also because children's hospitals usually are serving a large geographic population, there are any number of cases that might have sheltering orders that come to the hospital. So Maya's case, while it was unique and challenging, would not necessarily be all that uncommon in a children's hospital. Children's hospitals commonly are perform a role as an intermediary or a buffer at times. And so there could be other types of restrictions that patients have in a hospital. So as long as the medical care of the patient like Maya is being conducted appropriately, it might not rise to a level where there would be an intervention by a senior official.
Are there also what I would call privacy concerns where those cases are not always discussed and addressed at high executive levels?
There's always an intent to protect the privacy of a patient and family. There are HIPAA regulations as well. So there is indeed an effort to really protect the privacy issue and monitor the case as how that's being performed on a medical basis.
So we talked a little bit about retrospective reviews and quality committees. Let's talk about real-time review of patient care that would involve patient safety. In your role as a chief executive at a children's hospital, are you aware of certain real-time events to ensure patient care, such as, for example, handoffs?
Hospitals basically are based on shift work. There are three different shifts during a 24-hour period. What commonly happens is at shift changeover, there is a handoff from the shift that is going off duty to the shift that's coming on duty, where there's a discussion of what's occurred during that time frame, what the patient needs are, what the status of patients in the unit might be. That huddle, if you want to call it that, of employees, or a meeting of the combination of staff, really is very comprehensive in terms of being multidisciplinary. It involves nurses, it involves physicians, it could involve pharmacists, social workers on the unit. So it's comprehensive. It is really almost on a routine basis during the day, a triage examination of what the care needs of the unit's patients are. And then in addition to that, there could be an examination of each patient specific, what their needs are. So it is a real-time discussion of what the needs of patients are at that moment in time, real-time, and what's going to be addressed over the course of upcoming time. So it really is a very specific examination of what's going on at the moment.
And are you familiar with the concept of interdisciplinary team meetings?
Yes. Again, those are very common within hospitals, not amongst physician nurses, all disciplines of the hospital.
And in your review of the records, did you see documented in the records that, for example, the period of October 7th to the 13th, before the shelter order, that there were care planning meetings that were also attended by the family?
Yes.
Let me talk to you about your overall view of, based on what you've reviewed. Did it appear to you, based on the materials you've reviewed, the records, the policies, that All Children's Hospital had an appropriate safety plan in place for patient care?
Yes, it did.
Foundation predicate form of that.
You can answer that.
Yes, it did.
Okay. In your review of the materials, did it appear that All Children's, well, there was a concept that was introduced about if everyone's involved with safety, no one's in charge of safety. What is your response to that?
Same objections.
Overall. Going back to the comment about the interdisciplinary meetings, the advantage of that type of situation when you have all the caregivers in the same meeting discussing the patient at the same time, each member of that interdisciplinary group can discuss the needs and concerns that they might have for that patient. So everyone is taking ownership of their part of the medical care of the patient. So it's an advantage to have multiple people involved, to have the whole team being committed to the needs of the patient.
And within a reasonable degree of hospital administration, did you find that All Children's Hospital had appropriate levels of oversight, supervision, and direction?
Yes.
Foundation predicate beyond disclosure.
Yes.
And within a reasonable degree of hospital administration probability, did you believe that from an operational standpoint that All Children's met accepted standards of care?
Objection, bound scope, foundation, predicate.
Yes, I did.
1 minute, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I don't have any other questions at this time.
Your Honor, we have not received a...
Members of the jury, why don't we take a 5-minute break? Please do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do the investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exit.
Minutes and y'all can get the papers to each other. I appreciate it. Thank you.
seated, everyone. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to ask a clarifying question of the witness before I yield.
I disagree.
Do we need to witness Mr. Anderson to step out?
Yes, I think so.
Mr. Yeah. Anderson, the witness, I need you to step out, please.
Witness Mr. Anderson is out of our presence. Attorney Mr. Anderson.
We still haven't seen
it was Mr. Shapiro that had the questions.
Yes, he had a question.
The performance reviews we have are from October 2014 to October, the end of October 2015 and the end of October 2015.
The ones that he reviewed.
The ones that he reviewed through the end of October 2016, and I was going to clarify that with him.
Yeah, which means that the corrective action notice and the subsequent performance review was never provided to us for the relevant 2.5 months that Meyer remained in that hospital.
Okay. Do you have the performance review of the time that that Maya Kowalski was at the hospital?
No, Your Honor.
For parts of it, yes.
Well, October 2016.
You don't have it here or in evidence?
No.
Okay, this is what you're going to do.
Yep.
You're going to produce it tonight to the plaintiffs. If it's a performance review covering the time period that Maya Kowalski was at the hospital, you're going to do that. You're going to get it as soon as possible, but no later than, let's say, 6 p.m. today. This witness, although will be excused, is subject to being called back. And if there's a financial issue, we can address that if it becomes necessary.
Understood, Your
Honor. Okay.
So then I would cross today, but then be able to bring him back if I decided after reading that it was necessary.
If there's something in that performance evaluation that you need to ask this witness about, then let us know and we'll bring this person back.
I understand the court's ruling.
Right.
Your Honor, separate issue is the reference to JCAL accreditation and meeting those standards. While you were out, I asked the court reporter to mark the questions, and we'd like the questions read into the record again so that we can address the issue.
I'm not following you. The questions were asked, so why are we re-asking the questions?
Well, there seems to be a dispute over what was asked at sidebar. What was asked, and that can be read into the record, was whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital met the accreditation standards of the Joint Commission. And we asked for anything he relied upon in discovery, and we were never provided those reports. There's not something we can just go Google and get. So they're in the hospital's possession. They're in the expert's possession. We're not able to cross on these documents.
Did he review or rely on the Joint Commission accreditation?
No. It's... The hospital can't operate as a facility without being accredited by the Joint Commission. They can't accept Medicaid or Medicare funding. I didn't know that anybody was disputing that the hospital was running an unlicensed facility. It was a generic statement that all hospitals that are subject to licensure in the state of Florida, actually nationally, are subject to audits by the Joint Commission's condition. I didn't even go this far, but it is a condition of Medicare, Medicaid.
Did the plaintiffs ask for the documents reviewed and relied upon by?
Yes, we did, Your Honor.
When?
2020.
He was retained in 2021.
Did you ask with respect to this witness?
Well, I'm told yes. We can address it again.
Conceptually, here's the thing. If there was a specific request to this witness to produce the file, and if it wasn't produced, that also will need to be produced by 6 o'clock today. Now, if they being the plaintiffs, didn't ask,
it's a different story. So if you can look to see if there was a specific request, I'm sure you all can then get the file if there was a request.
Okay, I mean, I can have the request for production here just to, it's a 2020 June 10th, our RFP to Mark Anderson. And it asks for any and all documents and or materials referenced. So we asked for all materials from Mark Anderson. It has several others, but I'll stop there.
Mr. Shapiro, why are you, okay, if they use a specific name in 2020, how was he retained in 2021?
I may be off on the case. I read into the record everything he's relied on. He didn't.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that there was a specific request for the documents that this expert relied on. So from a discovery standpoint, you have until 6 p.m. today to get everything that this witness relied on to the plaintiffs.
They have every single document that he relied on. I can read them to the court again, but I can re-email them to him.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
We can email them in the next 10 minutes.
And again, this witness will remain, and if we need to call him back, we'll do that. So, but for now, are you ready to go? I know you don't have these documents, but you'll have them sometime today.
Ready as we can be. And just to be very clear, he was never sent joint accreditation documents. He didn't rely on joint accreditation documents, so I don't know that there's anything that they're going to expect to get other than what I read, depositions of Dr. Perno, deposition transcripts, Fourth Amended complaint, Eighth Amended complaint, the hospital records, Sally Smith's medical evaluation,
all children's policies. Mr. Shapiro, if the witness relied on documents, they need to go to the plaintiffs pursuant to the document request. That seems like a very fundamental issue.
I totally agree. I'm just making the record for the court. They have every single document that he relied on. He didn't rely on joint commission
documents. What you're reading is what you provided the witness, which is a little bit different than the document request. So I've said what I said, 6 p.m., if not before. Let's do that. Let's continue on knowing that the plaintiffs may be able to have another bite at the apple, so to speak. Let's go get witness Mr. Anderson. Let's bring in the jury. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did not do any investigation. You received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And has anyone approached you about this case? Has anyone seen any media coverage about this case? Mr. Anderson. Attorney Mr. Anderson, you may now ask witness Mr. Anderson questions. Make it so.
So.
You got that, didn't you?
So I would be correct that the last time you actually were a CEO, it was 20 years ago in Wisconsin at a children's hospital there.
I was a senior administrative. I held the title Chief Operating Officer for Ambulatory Services at Tampa General, so that would have been 2018. For a children's hospital, 2000. You're correct.
Sounds correct. 20 years ago. In Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Did you actually review the Joint Commission reports that you testified to on direct examination?
There were comments in the material that I was provided that referenced that, I believe.
All right, so you received an outline prepared by
these guys that had some of the quotes from the reports in it. True?
True.
And that report, how many pages was it? I mean, not the report, I mean the outline. How many pages was that outline?
I'm not following which outline you're talking about.
The very same outline you just testified contained comments from the Joint Commission reports.
Well, what I was referencing there is I received thousands of pages from the material of the forest.
I understand that. I'm asking you whether there was anything prepared by the defense lawyers that summarized or provided you with the choice of materials you were going to testify to.
Yes.
How many pages was it?
Two or three.
And in that outline, they pointed to you certain deposition excerpts?
No.
The standards you were to testify to?
I'm trying to be sure I'm specific about what outline you're talking to, or talking about. I received a document of what portions of my testimony would be this morning. That had outlines of topics that I had discussed with my attorney.
Okay, so they told you.
Are we approaching this?
No.
What?
I object to the invasion of work product.
They told you what you'd be testifying to, right?
Same objection.
Overruled, you can answer.
They told me topics for discussion as a prep.
And within those topics, they also gave you materials or excerpts from materials that you should use, did they not?
They gave me, if we're talking about the information this morning, I reviewed some documents relative to an HR performance about.
I'll get to that in a moment. What I'm asking you, sir, if I'm understanding your testimony, you got an outline from the defense last night. Are we in agreement there?
It was not last night, it was this morning. And I received a document about discussions that we had about topics that were going to be brought to my attention to discuss this morning.
Okay. In that one, did they provide you with references for materials that would be useful in discussing that topic?
No.
Other than telling you what you were going to be asked, topics you were going to be asked this morning, what else did they provide you in that outline?
A listing of materials that I had previously looked at, and then documents relative to Ms. Beattie's performance evals.
Okay. So you yourself did not go out and seek any materials in this case, did you?
Materials I received were provided over time.
The defense provided you with the materials you were to base your opinion on, right?
Correct.
did they provide you with the 2017 review of Kathy Beattie?
Yes.
They did. For the year encompassing the October incident, I'll get the date, sorry, the November 18th, 2016 incident involving Kathy Beattie. They gave you the review that encompassed that?
I think it encompassed that, yes. I don't have the document in front of me now to look at.
So now, did you actually get any of the J-Cal reports on Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
By J-Cal, are you referring to the Joint Commission?
The Joint Commission reports, yes.
I did not see their full report, no.
You saw excerpts of the report.
I saw comments and material I received referencing Joint Commission, yes.
So you offered an opinion to the jury without actually reading the entire reports, right?
I gave an opinion based on what the findings of that report seemed to be, yes.
What that report seemed to be was selected by the defense lawyers, was it not?
That was where the information came from.
You yourself never went out and actually researched to figure out for yourself what was relevant, what was not, as to any of this material, did you?
The information that I saw was provided by the attorney, but it had comments. It was medical record information and other types of information, depositions, and the like. That's the material that I received.
So you more or less are serving here as a mouthpiece for what they consider important, right?
No, sir.
So where the independent analysis come in here, if they selected the thing. I'm sorry, I apologize. Continue, sir. My apologies.
What I made comment about are progress notes and information that is documented within the records of All Children's. And I've made comments about how transfer agreements were made. I made comments about interdisciplinary meetings that have occurred. I've made comments about perceptions of organizational structure and how quality of care is being rendered. And those are judgments that I have made based on my serving as a chief operating officer, looking at documented progress notes of patient care that was rendered to Mike.
Okay. Now, in what you reviewed, I'm going to ask you some facts here that have been put before this jury, and I want to know in the materials you were provided, there's two questions here. First question is, were you provided them? And second, did you review to see whether this information ever made it up to senior management? Okay? First, so I understand the parameters. All right. First one is Kathy Beattie taking my client to a room, undressing her down to her sports bra and short shorts, and taking photographs of her without her parents' permission.
Objection to mischaracterization of the evidence.
Overall, you can answer.
First, were you provided that?
that information was detailed or was told in documents that I received, yes.
All right. As to that one. And then, second question. Well, maybe there's three. Would you agree that that's a type of situation that should be reported high enough up in an organization so somebody can review it and decide whether action needs to be taken?
The situation you are describing was the patient being taken to have in pursuit of further information about a diagnosis. And that diagnosis was to be, that was being examined was there potential abuse going on to that patient? Pursuant to the hospital's policies and procedures, that was what was conducted by the team that took the photographs. But there was also no indication in the medical records or the progress notes that there was a parental complaint about that raised.
How are the parents supposed to complain if they don't know about it?
The policy that is...
It's all right. Just tell me now, would you agree that that's the type of information that should go far enough up the chain so that someone can decide whether this was action that needed to be corrected?
The activity that was being done was in process of the care that was needed. It was not an abnormal event that was occurring and or asking to be occurred.
All right, sir, I just want to know, is this an event that should be carried up high enough or not? Yes or no?
It was carried to the risk management department and it was reported.
Okay. And in your view of this risk management, strike it, have you ever seen the flow chart there, the organizational chart of this hospital?
Yes.
And you recognize the risk management reports directly to the general counsel?
That's where it is on the chart.
And the general counsel reports generally to the CEO, directly to the CEO?
Correct.
Who was the CEO back then?
Jonathan Ellen.
All right. So he would have a direct conduit of information from risk management, true?
Yes.
Do you agree with the push-pull method that it's the duty of executives to not only just receive information from those that they're working with, but pull information from time to time to be fully informed?
I believe that meetings and communication should occur.
All right. So a good executive should be pulling information out as well as just passively receiving information. True?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, as they receive the information doesn't necessarily mean they're going to intervene in the situation. If the situation was being conducted appropriate to the level of care required and appropriate to the policies and procedures of the hospital.
Okay. Conducting unauthorized surveillance in a room where my client could not escape for 48 hours without her knowledge or her parents' knowledge. First, is that the type of event that should be reported up the line if in fact there was no authorization?
Objection, mischaracterization, Chapter 39, issues, and quiz.
Both be approached.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.